You might want to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And perhaps you can look to the Lord again. Our Father, would just to remind you, not that you need reminding, Spirit of God, here we go. And you got to help us. Your word, God, it cost you, our Lord, you had to die to give us your word. And God, you want your word to be found, you want your word to find a home in our heart. And that as we find you in our heart and trusting you and trusting your word, that we can honor you, our Heavenly Father. And we'll thank you very, very much. Help us. In Christ's name, amen. So, in our exercise of late, as we have in the Gospel of the First Epistle of John, and in our study, think of Wednesday, chapter 13, and in verse 50, why was Israel not believing? What was the problem with Israel's unbelief? Verse 15, chapter 13, four reasons. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull or heavy of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest, make sure so that they never, it would never, lest at any time, never, let it never happen, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, changed, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, the condition of Israel was a condition where their eyes could not see, their ears were not hearing, and they certainly were not in their understanding in their heart. Now, having said that, thus they were in the world system, under the world system, and thus God was left out of their life. They had no appreciation. They had no expectation of God's wonderful grace in their heart. So, having said that, they just didn't want to hear, lest at any time. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to understand. Now, having that thought in your head, my head, and our head, go with me, plaque over to the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 2, and in Ephesians in chapter 2, you would recall, tells us about why was Israel like that? Why was the rest of the world in darkness? Chapter 2, verse 2, Ephesians. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, before you got saved, what were the conditions? According to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, it was presently, present tense, working. The God, the prince, the ruler of this world, was busy holding sway over the unsaved world because they weren't believing. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were in the world. We didn't want to see. We didn't want to hear. We didn't want to understand. We were not seeing. We were not hearing. We were not understanding. We chose not to. But that's the world's system. Now, the world's system, is under the god of this world. To lock that in, over to 2 Corinthians again, and you note it, but note it again, if you can, in the process. And in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, you'll remember, if I can, verse 3, directly in the light of the context. For our God, if our gospel, the good news, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They didn't want to see, they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to understand, and that gave the world's devil power. The devil doesn't have any power until you don't want to see. And as long as you choose negatively, you have negative results as you get down the corridor of time. That's what you're going to have as you get down. And he's the god of this world system. We do not run this world system. We are in this world system. We are in our old sin nature. And we are under the god, under his domain, the devil himself. It's his system. God is missing from it. Religion, politics, we get all of those. But without God, we don't need God. God is left out. So now, we're caught. That's where we are. The world system runs us. We're in bondage to it. That's what we are. We're not free. We're caught in it. We don't have a say. We don't have a say about the price of gas. We don't have a say about anything when you come right down to it. We're very limited. We have a little circle. We can choose what groceries we choose. We can choose what we do, what we don't do. But very limited. Very limited for many reasons. We're limited. And the God of this world, charge, is dying. If we end up going towards socialism, communism, where we're headed, where they're trying to get us to go as a country, that's where they'll go. We just go. We have to go wherever the system goes, whatever the price of gas goes. We just got to go whatever the system is. We don't run the system, we're in the system. We can't overcome it. It's just there. Now, keeping that in mind, the world system, your old sin, our old sin nature refuses to see, hear, and understand. It hates the light and loves darkness, our old sin nature. The God of this world system wants us to stay in the dark and avoid and not know the wonderful life that God has made for us in Christ Jesus. He wants us to stay in a state of death. And the world system, totally in which we live, leaves God out. Religion, lots of religion, but not God. The whole system. So the world system, the satanic system, your old sin nature, it's all against you. Against us. We're in it. We're caught in the world. Now, if you remember what you read, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, he happens to be the God of this world. Our Lord even acknowledged it in Matthew chapter 4. And our Lord went, and the devil offered him all the kingdoms of this world. He offered him the world system with all of its kingdoms. Now the Lord never rebuked him for that because they are under his control. The Lord rejected that offer because if he took it, the devil. He would have had to worship the devil, and that he was not going to do. The devil is his creation. So therefore, with that in mind a little bit, over to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, what we're looking at is the world system. And in the process, you will note, if I may, picking up, please, in verse chapter 17, in verse 11, our Lord's prayer before he goes out to the garden and crucifixion. Chapter 17, John, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that purpose they may be one as we are one. Hang on to that. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. I'm speaking it on planet Earth so people will know, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I want them to know in the world, I want them to know the wonderful thing it is to be trusting God in a world of, trusting the God of light in a world of darkness. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should takest them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one, the devil himself. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So God, we're trying to understand, God saves us. We were caught under the God of this world, but when we came to know the Lord as our Savior, God rescues us out from under that domain. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to verse 17, sanctify them through thy word, truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And as, I'll read that again, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, God sent his only begotten Son to the cross, even so have I also sent them into the world. So our assignment is to be in the world the same as the Lord was. Hang on to that. And remember, the end of verse 13, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them, to be able to be in the world and not be part of the world. That's right. To be able to enjoy the world's, to be here in on planet Earth in our old sin nature, under the God of this world, under the whole world system, to be in it, darkness, and to be able to have a relationship to God in light and joy. Now, sliding down to verse 21. Remember what you read now in the process. The end of verse 11, chapter 17, verse 11, the end. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 18, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be also one in us. That purpose the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So it's a relationship, a wonderful relationship in the world system but it hates light. Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one as we are one, to have a relationship. God has to give us something that belongs to God, that's his son in Christ, to have this oneness. I have to have a relationship to God to enjoy God's success, God's person. Therefore, and the world has to have, I have to have that for the world to see the difference. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that purpose they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So we're looking to God, a wonderful thing to see that what? God lays us in the world to represent our Lord Jesus Christ as he is in the world. So in his most wonderful way, that's what God is doing. Chapter 15. And keeping in mind chapter 15, and remember chapter 15 and verse, oh, go to verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world anymore, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So the world hates you. That's what it does. Because you don't belong to them anymore. You're taken out from the world to belong to God's wonderful grace. Now, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, and you will note, as you read, 1 John, and you'll note it, chapter 2, you're going to verse 15. I'm going to read it again for us. See how it's all connected. All connected. You got to see what? The problem is the world problem that we're all under, the bondage of that world system. And that world system is the controlling authority. And so when you go against that authority and you step out of that authority, then you become the enemy of God. So therefore, verse 15, chapter 2, 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world system, not the world, not flowers and bugs and bees, the world system. If any man love the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're looking at what? The world. The world system is powerful. We were saved. When a person gets saved, they're saved out from under it in God's wonderful grace. And God saves them in a wonderful way from the world system, your old sin nature and the satanic system. And just one other place, you're right next door anyway, not far away, over to James chapter 4 again. And you'll recall, which you know, chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity, hostility, is an enemy of God, with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So therefore, the world system hates God. It's under the control of the devil. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, back over and remember now, you don't have to turn there, but in John, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew, Mark, Luke. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, when you receive Christ as your Savior, when did you become a child of God? I became a child of my parents when I was born. Until I was born, I was there, but I wasn't there. But when I was born, I became a child of my parents. When I received the Lord as my Savior, I became a child of God. I wasn't going to become a child of my parents. I was a child of my parents. I didn't know it at the time, but I was a child of my parents because I'm just a little baby and I don't know anything. So, when I become a child of God, I had to understand that God, in his wonderful grace, made me a child. So if you're going to say, I just want you to ask yourself, and afresh, you know, people can say, well, when did you get saved? Oh, I got saved. And then when you get saved, you may not remember when you got saved. You may not understand when you got saved. So the better question is, when did you get, instead of asking, when did you get saved, are you saved? Now, I know that you guys, girls, were all born because you're sitting there. I don't have to ask, when were you born? You were born. I'm looking at you. There you are. So, when did you get saved? When I got saved. I got saved. When I got saved, that makes me a child of my parents. When I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, makes me a child of God. I'm a child of God. Now, when are you saved? I am a saved right now. Hang on to that. Not something I did or something that happened. Something that God did, something wonderful for me. He saved me, saves us. Now, when am I a child of God? I'm a child of God now. When did I pass, John 5:24, when did I pass from death unto life? When I received him as my Savior. It is. It's all done. All done. You're all done if you're saved. If you're saved, it's all finished. So you can say, whatever. Not going to be more. You're not more of a child. When you were born at 7 days old, and you try along, when you're 17 years old, are you more of a child than you were in 7 days, when you were 7 days old? You were a child of God, child of the parents, and 7 days old. At 17 years old, you're still the same child. You've just grown. Do you understand that? It's simple. Hang on to that. Because, if we can, over now to 1 John, and chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in the process, in chapter 5. And in verse, chapter 5, verse 1. So, here we are looking to God. God. And so, therefore, God, what do you, in chapter 5, we looked at it last time, verse 1. So, in the light of our wonderful relationship to God, the believing heart is just going to say it clearly and make it very, very clear. The evidence of our relationship to God and our wonderful success and having God's eternal life is very clear, because whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And remember, we've been doing it from chapter 4 all the way to even before that. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive him as your Savior. Chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. What does that mean? God dwelleth in him and he in God. You can't say it easier than that. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive God. Where I receive Christ. Yes, Christ is God. And that's the problem. They don't want to believe. They believe in Jesus, all kinds of things. But they don't believe he's God. And when he comes into your heart, he's God in his wonderful, wonderful person. That's the whole issue. As you read chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, etc., that's the whole argument. You didn't believe. You should have believed. You should have believed. But if you just said, I received Jesus in the flesh. In the flesh, he's God. I received him in the flesh as my personal Savior. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 2. For this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. We just know it's a relationship. We believe that Jesus Christ is God, verse 1, and everyone that loveth him, all the people that love him, love God. Everyone that loveth God, him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. In other words, Christ died for everybody to get saved. And everybody that gets saved, God saves them. And you and I are we're one of them. And if we're one of them, we're one of them, not the one, we're one of them. And everyone that God saves, you have to care. God saved him just like us. Who died? He took me on the cross and you and you and you and you and you. We were all there at once. That's pretty oneness. Oneness. So when we're doing, we're going to what? We love everything that God saves. We love everyone that God loves. How could we not? God loves them and saves them. So therefore, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love him and keep his commandments. And remember, we did all these things again and again. Chapter 3, and in verse 23, what is his commandment? How do we understand the commandments? That we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So how do we sum up the Ten Commandments? You believe that God meant what he said and says what he means. You believe that Christ died on the cross and you believe his word. That's all. You're going to believe. What else? And you're going to love. You're going to love. You're going to love one another. Why? Because Christ died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, what are we saying? Well, then the relationship. We're talking about God in the heart, God in the hearts of others, and especially believers that are walking with God. And therefore, we're looking to God to outwork his wonderful will in his most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, and in the process, chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. How are we keeping his commandments? By believing, chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. We're going to believe God. That's what he told us to do, to believe him. What can we do to work the works of God? Believe me, he said. Believe. So what are we going to do? We're going to look to God, to our work. God's going to, present tense, keeping, guarding, observing, obeying the commandments because God, the Spirit of God, is going to help us. Chapter 3 and verse 23 as we read. So, we're going to look to God. His commandments are never, and his commandments, so we're looking to God to honor God. That's what we're doing. And as we honor God, we're going to enjoy the benefits. We've received God as our Savior. We love God's saving grace to everyone that gets saved, And we're showing that love to people that get saved. We're showing that love to the world, that God loves us. Christ died for us. That's what he did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, so therefore, chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So here we're looking at God, whatever. And whatever God does, is God doing it, and it's surely good. And therefore we love what God does. God saves us. The reason, those who are guarding, observing, obeying, looking to God, loving God, and God's going to do a wonderful thing in our head and heart. So whatever God, whatsoever is born of God, verse 4, overcometh the world. So now, here we are looking to God. And we mentioned being a child of God, John 1:12, a child of God. We got either I am or I ain't, child of God. And when I became a child of God, God gave us a wonderful relationship to himself. In particular, in Christ. In Christ and God. Underline in God. God gave you a wonderful relationship to himself in Christ, in God. See it. 2 Peter, hold the finger. Here again, and in the process, 2 Peter, if I may, and you will note, and in 2 Peter chapter 1, tying it together, God, I received not just Jesus is a thought. I received a person. The person of Christ in the heart is none less and none other than God. God. So when I look to God and trust God with all my heart, when I do that and looking to God, then I'm looking for God in the heart to be God. So you aren't surprised at all. Then when you read 2 Peter, and chapter 1, sliding down to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that purpose by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have a unique godliness. Where did you get this godliness? The same as him. Because Christ, the Son of God, you find yourself, remember as we did with the cups, you find yourself in Christ, who is God. Christ, who is God. And therefore, all of God's magnificent person, you are partakers of the divine nature. You enjoy God. Understand? Where do you enjoy God? Because he's the Son of God. He's God. That's why when you received him, you're able to know him. You have a unique relationship to God as the Son of God. Now, back over, if you would, to John, 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, if I may, and picking up, Chapter 5, going to verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It overcomes the world. Whatever is born, God overcomes. Present tense, overcomes. It's overcoming. Overcoming the world. Now, so in the process, has been begotten of God. That means that God saves them with a result, perfect tense. He remains saved. He's born again. He is a relationship to God. He has a wonderful relationship to God. in a very, very wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, out from God, he's the source. Now, the person who has been begotten of God, if I can, is, oh God, overcometh the world, conquers, vanquishes, having the victory, by means of the victory, overcomes the world. How is he doing that? Because he's overcoming the world. What do you mean he's overcoming the world? Because, what did you read in John, John 17? God said, the world hates you because I have set you apart in my wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show what? To show the world our oneness. Oneness. To show the world our oneness. What oneness? That Jesus read in Peter. We have a unique relationship to God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You're related. I'm just us humans. Aha. But us humans are finding ourselves in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's God. And therefore, we share. When did you start to share it? When you received him as your Savior. That's when you started to share it. You had it. How long have you been a child of God? The moment I received him as my Savior, I became an overcomer. I overcame. That's how you got saved. You overcame your old nature, the devil, and the world system. When you received him, he beat them all and gives you his life. He paid the price and set you free. So, what are we doing? We're overcomers. We're to be overcomers because in conquerors, having the victory, darkness over light, light over darkness, life over death, death over life, in the midst of war and the world, the system, flesh, and the devil. We have wonderful, wonderful victory in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, for whatsoever is born, verse 4, was born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, when did you overcome the world? When you got saved. When you got saved. So, we're going to say, you aren't going to work at fighting. When we say overcome, we got to be overcomers. Says it. As you read each Revelation 2 and 3, all seven churches showing the history of the church plus individual churches, showing the history, what's it doing? To everyone, the Spirit of God says, hear what the Spirit of God says, he that overcometh. Why would you say that? Because you're overcomers. We aren't fighting to be overcomers. That's the point. I'm not fighting. I've got to beat my old nature. Christ did it when he died. I got to beat the world system. I'm out of the world system. I'm in the body, but not in the body in the world. But I don't belong to the world. I belong to Christ. So I'm free. I'm set free. When you died, you did this. So the world, the flesh, and the devil said, you set me free. I'm not going to fight to get free, to overcome. I am an overcomer. Then be it. Be it. Now I'm going to overcome my bad habits and the way I think and what I do. I'm going to overcome it. And you're going to make it. So I got to try real hard. Therefore, I'm only going to eat half the box of candy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to really eat it. I'm going to make it go. That's your trying. You're trying to do it. You're supposed to trust and believe. It's done. Don't try to help God do something that he's already done. You're already an overcomer. That's why present tense, be an overcomer. And you got the idea? Trying to help you. You don't work at it. It's God doing what he does in his most wonderful way. And verse 4, as you read in 1 John, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're believing what God said in his word. We believe what God has done in his word in a most wonderful way. So therefore, to tie that together quickly, over if you would please, hold your finger here and go over to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Hold your finger there and go over to John chapter 15. And in chapter 15, chapter 16, John chapter 16, going to go directly to verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, trouble, oppression, etc. But be of good cheer, courage. I have overcome the world. That's the word, to overcome, to have the victory. And it's perfect, the language. I have overcome. I haven't even gone to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross after this. I've already done it. You haven't died yet. No, I haven't. I've already finished. It's a victory. I'm going to go and die for your sins. I'm going to go and do that. So it's overcome. I have overcome. He said, I'm finished. I did it. So that's why you're going to trust me, because I've overcome the world. In you, in your heart, I have overcome the world. It's finished. So don't get down trying to fix everything. You can't fix everything. And you don't need to fight everything. You need to get in the place where you're resting in what God has done, period. And all you can do is say, thank you. Thank you. It's finished. Now you got that part. The Lord Jesus, before he went to the crucifixion, I finished it. I've got the victory. Be of good courage. Now, back over to 1 John and in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, picking up, if I may, I'll read verse 3 for context. For every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now was already in the world. It's against Christ, but it can't change what Christ has done. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome, there's your little word, overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the word overcome is perfect. You already have overcome. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you became a child of God. And you have all the benefits of his saving grace. You received him, God, into your heart. You have a unique relationship to God because Christ, the Son of God, has made you a child of God and a son of God. And thus you share a unique oneness to God as family, as father. You have a unique oneness to God, and you're to enjoy that oneness. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world and the devil himself. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. Be one. Be one. Don't try to be one. Just be one. Be overcoming. What's so hard? In fact, the more, if I keep going, thinking, and trying to learn, and we're all trying to learn. It gets simpler and simpler. It just gets so simple, so easy.
Yep.
God said, listen, you step out from a state of death to a state of life. From wrongness to rightness, from darkness to light. You receive me. We're always in his presence, like Sunday school. We're always in his presence. And we're letting God's saving work on Calvary's cross become the great benefit for us to have such a unique, awesome relationship to God. And thus we're overcomers. We're overcomers. We're losing. You're losing. Romans 8. We're sheep to the slaughter. In the next verse. But you're more than conquerors. All the while, looks like you're losing. You're always winning. Then be a winner. Be an overcomer. Yeah. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy grace. Thank you much for your word. Help us to understand more and more, for better and better, that we might have all the benefit, all the wonderful benefit of your saving grace on Calvary's cross. The Spirit of God, that you would be pleased, not grieved, but pleased, as we seek to practice that which you do in our life to make us enjoy being overcomers. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for what you're doing, and help us. We think of all the needs and the people that are sick and everybody. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.